about growing up in a slum in India, where to access fresh drinking water, you need to walk 2 miles, and in 45 degrees Celsius. Think about this young person being physically and verbally abused at home. What future is there for these young people? Is there any hope for any of these young people to have successful, happy lives and careers? This is Between Us, Stories of Unconscious Bias. I am Smita Tharoor. Puneet Singh Singhal was born and brought up in a slum called Sankam Vihar in South Delhi in India. He grew up facing domestic violence and poverty. Due to his stammer, he also faced a lot of bullying. Despite those early years, Puneet went on to complete his undergraduate degree in English Honours from the University of Delhi. He then worked in the Royal Bank of Scotland as an operations analyst in the anti-money laundering department. But after a year of working there, Puneet realized that corporate life is just not for him. He has since worked with organizations like Amnesty International, Action Aid India, Vision India Foundation, and Association for Democratic Reforms. He's a former member of the Delhi Minority Commission and a current member of the International Union of Conservation of Nature. That's the IUCN. Currently, what is keeping Puneet very busy is that he's running a social organization working towards normalizing speech and communication disorders and advocating for a more inclusive and accessible society for people with disabilities. So I'm really pleased that Puneet is giving us some time to share his stories of unconscious bias. Thank you so much, Puneet, and welcome.
Thank you, Smita, for having me.
So Puneet, you know, as you know, we're talking about stories of unconscious bias. So even before you share what I know are going to be very powerful stories, perhaps you could tell us what you understand by these words, unconscious bias. What does that mean to you?
Hello, Smita. Before answering that question, I would do my ritual, which I'm following for last six months, is to put a disclaimer that I'm a person with stammering and I'm gonna stammer, and like it's just being honest to myself and to my listeners that you have to bear with me, you have to be a little patient with me.
And
so as far as unconscious bias is concerned, for me, like for almost 20 years of my life, I have given up on my image of myself, like to the society. They were reflecting their beliefs on me, and I have accepted that someone with stammering cannot be a leader, cannot be a confident person, cannot be successful in whatever profession they are. So I was quite a, you know, I have already given up on my dreams that I cannot do certain things because I have stammering and I belong to a certain section of society which is like certainly like we cannot climb up the social ladder because of our identity as the society. So these two things were like I'm a free person, but when it comes, like when I look at back in my childhood and my maybe during my college days as well, I was quite reluctant and I was quite negative about my own perception, my own dreams.
That's so powerful, Puneet, because these are two things that you're saying. You know, it's about your self-belief. Who am I? How do I see myself? What is my future? And when you are young, you know, age 10, 12, 15, 20, 0 to 20, is when most people start thinking about, you know, what do I want to be when I grow up? What are my dreams? What are my aspirations? Where am I going to be? And so on. And because of two reasons, not just one, A, you felt that growing up in a slum was so, you believed at that time that it was so self-limiting that you will not be able to do much other than continue to live in a slum. And then B, alongside that, you also have a stammer. And you felt that having a stammer means that you can't do anything beyond something very basic. And to share that honesty is very, very powerful. And I really appreciate it, Puneet. Thank you so much. So what happened? I mean, you are not obviously anywhere in that sense of self-belief anymore because you have done so much since then. And at the moment, you're running your own organization. So could you share some stories with us to help us understand your journey?
It has been like I'm just traveling back to time right now. So I still remember that drinking water was a luxury for us. And we used to travel like around 3 kilometers to fetch drinking water, all like my father, my mother, my elder brother and me. And we live in the capital of the biggest democracy of the world, India. And it was like childhood was always is a good time. Now I'm not in a complaining zone, but at that time it was really tough because it was summer. It was like 45 degrees Celsius temperature, and then we are traveling to 3 kilometers. My father used to carry a kind of a carrier, and then we would be pushing the carrier along with the water that we are carrying in that manual vehicle. So it's a very fresh memory in my my mind. And then I faced a lot of violence as well. My father was an alcoholic, and most part of his life he used to be beat my mom after like during nights. And when we used to come and try to protect our mom, I think we also used to get a lot of physical violence from his side. So it was really a lot of mental pressure was there because I have spent almost 3 years that I didn't sleep at night, and I used to sleep during day to cover up my sleep, because at that time I was in the school, and to support my family I was also working in a shopping mall as a sales executive, and I was not 18 then, so I was not even a legal employee. So I whenever people from government used to come, I used to like hide from them, and I was getting half of the money that I was supposed to pay according to the market standard. So it was all quite a mess, but it was really happening.
It really was happening, and I'm just trying, you know, to try and visualize those early years, Puneet, where your mother and as a result you and your siblings all faced domestic abuse at the hands of your father. You're trying to protect your mother, you're staying up at night to protect your mother, yet you're going to school and you're working in the evenings. And this is how old? You're 14, 15, 16, something like that?
Yeah, in my teenage, yeah.
Yeah, in your teen years. So many of us would not have had those experiences you have, Puneet. And I want to try and understand what that meant for you. Because, you know, you are where you are today, despite living under some extremely challenging circumstances. So what is it about your life story that made you believe in yourself and be where you are now? What happened?
I think there are several turning points, and one of which I can remember that when I was in class 11th, I was the only eligible student to contest for the election of becoming an head boy. So my teachers really motivated me. They said, you know, you should go for it. And then I decided to contest that election. I was very much excited. I draw some pamphlets, some slogans, and I was sticking on the walls of different classroom. I was talking to students over their issues, like what they want from their head boy, what kind of leadership they would like to have. And there comes the day of school assembly, and all the contestants all the candidates were supposed to give a speech. And then when my turn was there, I go to the stage, And I realized that I couldn't utter a single word. I was completely like nervous, and I couldn't. I was stammering, as you know, I was stammering, I was spitting, I was, you know, a lot of struggle in was there. So the words were not coming out of my mouth, and everyone was like, simply they were laughing. And even I see some teachers, they were like hiding their faces, but they are still, I can see the giggling as well. What I did, I was stammering, but I finished my speech despite all these laughing, which I was really taken aback. But I finished my speech. I took a whole lot of time, but I'm proud of myself that I didn't give up at that time. And that very moment, I decided that I'm going to become a leader. And I'm going to become a leader, and I will be stammering there as well. Like, it cannot be fixed. Like, stammering cannot be fixed. People need to realize that it's not because of confidence. Some of me, like, I will stammer less when I'm more confident. But there are some people who are confident, but they will stammer. Like, there is different natures of their stammering. It can be biological, it can be psychological, it can be sociological. Like, if there's so many nuances within the stammering. So that moment I have decided to, you know, to let it be, let people laugh on me, but I will be confident and I will become a leader for sure.
Ah, briefly interrupting this conversation to say that today's podcast is sponsored by Audible. If you are interested in knowing more about stammerers and how to change perception, you can get a free book on Audible. It's called Stammering and Stuttering, Changing Perceptions by Anne Morrison. And Anne Morrison herself has narrated the book. All you have to do for this free book and a free month subscription is to sign up to audibletrial.com/Tharoor Associates. It is important that you do use the link I've shared to get this free subscription. So sign up to audibletrial.com/Tharoor Associates.
I'm visualizing you, Puneet, class 11. So you are probably what, 16 years old. You are already dealing with what we know what's going on at home. You're going home to a very difficult, very challenging home. You're working in a mall in the evenings and late at night. You're hardly sleeping. You're going to school. And then you also decide, because some mentoring has been given. There's one thing here that I want to pull out, because firstly, your incredible self-belief and the fact that you stood there, you did stammer because you were nervous, but yet somewhere within you, you got the confidence to continue to stammer, but to finish the speech, which is remarkable. But then there was one more thing that you said, which is that you said you wanted to be head boy and some of your teachers encouraged and supported you. And I thought to myself, that's interesting. Because they didn't say to you, "Arey Puneet, you can't be doing this. You stammer, how can you be a head boy? Stammerers can't be head boys." So they didn't say that to you, did they? Those teachers who supported you before you went up to speak.
I remember that there were like two teachers which helped me so much, which you know, they really motivated me. And I'm still in touch with them. Only these two teachers from the school I am in touch with. So it's not a coincidence that I choose to be in touch with them even now.
Well, that just says something though about teachers and mentors, because it could be one. It doesn't even have to be two. And I have spoken to people, you know, who could be in their 50s and 60s, and they would look back and say, "I remember that one teacher. And if it wasn't for that one person when I was 10, when I was 15, when I was 17, who was there for me, I may not be where I am today." And I wonder often how lucky we can be because of that connection with one or two people. Because it was alongside that you also had your own self-belief, would you say?
Absolutely. Talking about mentors, I was a participant of 2021 Kandari batch, and I got the opportunity to be trained under Sabri and Paul. And it was like, it was an eye opener. It was every day I was learning so much. I'm, you know, it just changed like I achieved, like, after that training, I've achieved a lot more in these 3 months of 2022, which I was not able to achieve in the last 3 years. So my I'm doing much more in much less time, because I know that how to communicate, how to write proposals, how to actually run a social organization without getting much of the trouble. Now I know people. Now I know how to approach different type of problems that we as a society are facing. So this is another turning point.
So Puneet, what you're saying is that in 2021, you had the opportunity of being part of a leadership training program. Can you explain that to us? Because the listeners may not know what you mean when you said you were at Kantari.
So Kantari is a social and leadership course in Kerala, south of India, and they every year they select a bunch of people who have undergone certain adversities in their life, and they want to bring a social positive change in their community. So they get the skills like proposal writing, like fundraising, like writing proposals, how to make their own websites, how to maintain accounts, everything that is associated with running an organization successfully. So I was lucky enough to be in that organization while India was still in lockdown.
That was very fortunate. But let's just come back to your learning and challenging your own unconscious biases, Puneet. So you shared that incredible story that I think all of us listeners can visualize. You're standing there in school and suddenly having the self-belief that doesn't matter whether I am a stammerer or not, I am going to be a leader. So that was 16. You are not 16 anymore. You moved on and you are where you are today. Could you share another story to give us some more examples?
So in February this year, I met a very educated young man, Sahil. He's from Kashmir, and he's also a person with stammering. He is incredibly intelligent. He's incredibly hardworking, and like he is a very bright student. But he's looking for a job for last 1 year, and he couldn't get a job simply because he's a stammerer. So along with him, so I made him part of our organization. He's our outreach manager now. So he's making videos for us to advocate the fact that in these job description, all these companies put that oral communication is very important. The candidate has to be very fluent and fast. That's in the job description. It is clearly written. But at the same time, now corporates are trying to promote DEI, that is diversity, equity, and inclusion. So how it is not contrary to what they are doing, what they are actually putting in practice. So we are advocating against these kind of beliefs in our workplaces as well. And we are using social media. We are using workshops in universities and companies, and we are using flash mobs, and we are building up a team. We are building up a community which will be raising their voice that this is not their real diversity is, and there is no diversity without discrepancy as well.
So here's a question, Puneet, because I think you said much earlier on to understand that a stammerer could be from different angles. It could be physiological, it could be sociological, it could be mental, it could be physical. There are different ways. Could you expand? Could you teach us a little bit more? Us, the listener who may not know anything about stammerers and the assumptions that we might come to. So to begin with, if you could suggest to us what people may think when they hear a stammerer in your experience, because you are a stammerer, and then explain to us what does that mean in terms of stammerer and where does it come from?
Yeah, so the social belief is that stammering and being not confident is the same thing. Like when you're not confident, you will stammer. Even if you are not, you usually stammer, but under certain conditions you will stammer. People see it like that. But there are certain criteria in terms of when we talk about biological stammering. So if there is some head injury, that person will be stammering because of certain neurological factors, and he is going to stammer. But he will be confident about it, and he cannot do anything about it because there is no cure or treatment regarding this.
No cure of any kind.
There is no therapy.
What? There is no therapy or therapeutic
therapies
services.
Are
nothing.
There.
Right.
Therapies are there, and I have. So it reminds me of another story. So in Bangalore and in Mumbai, there are a lot of peace therapists who say that I will cure you. Give me 75,000 rupees, 80,000 rupees. I will cure you within 1 week, and it's a scam. I'm not putting allegation on most of them, but there are some people who are lying to stammerers that they can be fixed, and this is not true at all. Yes, there are techniques, there are therapies which can improve your speech, but if someone is telling you it can be cured, it cannot be.
There are
several research paper which has been written, and so it's just like this. So it's a lot of, it's a very complicated scenario, because generally even I was looking for a shortcut, even I was trying to escape from this reality, and the first step towards improvement, I would say it will be acceptance. The moment I accept myself as that I'm going to stammer, I started to improve, and
right.
I don't see anything wrong with stammering in this regard. I just see that it should not be come into my day-to-day life activities. Then it will become a disability as well. If this is acting as a hindrance to my communication, to my interviews, to my social life, then it is a disability, and we have to bring a line. We have to put up a boundary before it.
See, this is very interesting. I just want to capture a couple of things that you have said, Puneet. One is that society, the world over, whether it's India, whether it's the UK, or whether it's anywhere else, make assumptions that if we hear somebody who is stammering, a stammerer, we meet somebody who is a stammerer, we might make an assumption that they lack in self-confidence. They're not extremely confident people, therefore they don't have enough self-beliefs, and therefore they are stammering. That's the one aspect I think you were saying. Am I correct? And then the second thing that you were saying, which is also extremely important for us to acknowledge, is that stammering is not something that actually can be cured. It is there for life, and it is how we as a human being deal with it. Now, this, to me, is the crux of this whole idea of any kind of disability. You know, you've been a stammerer from a very young age, but it could be somebody else who, nothing to do with stammering, but has a disability, say, at the age of 20, loses a leg and suddenly has to live the rest of their life with only one leg. But if they view themselves as disabled, I am not capable, I am unable because I no longer have a leg, or because I stammer, or because I am whatever that is, we are self-limiting ourselves. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes.
And that, I think, is a very, very important thing for all of us to appreciate. A very powerful point that you've presented to us, Puneet. So thank you for this. What we do is we create our own problems. We tend to have our own self-limiting beliefs and say we stammer, and therefore we make assumptions about how the world is looking at us. This is our unconscious bias. And what you have done at the age of 15 or 16, standing on stage in that school, he said, I'm not going to allow that unconscious bias to limit me. I'm going to be a leader, and I'm going to own my stammering. And I think that is something that I'm still thinking about, so, and kind of absorbing and appreciating. Thank you, Puneet. Oh, so can you share another story with us? Because this is just wonderful for all of us to hear and understand and appreciate.
I think there are whole lot of stories which I can remember now. And so, like, I would like to put up another scenario that how we are not supposed to be in a relationship as well, in a romantic relationship as well, because, you know, there are a lot of people who calls me and say that, you know, one of my friends actually ended up with a girl, but through her attitude, she was saying that I'm kind of doing you a favor of being with you. And I just said, you know, you have to be pretty much assertive about it, because it's simply not acceptable that someone is putting you up that much negatively. Like, it simply is like you are a burden. You are not adding up anything into her life, and it's kind of a one way street. So I just said, you know, you need to talk. You need to be clear about it, and just don't be stressed about it. You have done nothing wrong. It's none of your fault, because if she's attacking that part of you, because you can have other qualities as well. And this is like, that's why I always say that, you know, people with stammering and people with disabilities, I don't use the word like disabled, because this is not our identity. We are people with our own strengths, weaknesses, desires and dreams. And it will not define us in life. There are other aspects of our society, of our personality as well. So, you know, a whole lot of the days I receive calls. One of my trainer from Royal Bank of Scotland, he called me, and actually what you were mentioning, he was like, he got under some kind of an accident while driving, and he couldn't speak for 6 months, and he has to relearn speaking again. So he was explaining me the challenges, that how he learned to speak every single sound again, and it was really interesting. And then he said that now I can relate to you on another level. Like I can really feel what people with speech disabilities are going through. It's incredible. And he said that, you know, if you need any kind of support, if you need any kind of guidance from my side, I'm always there with you. Because at one point of time I was not being that sensitive. I was like, you know, that it's just stammering. It's just funny. The other person is just looking funny. And how can someone be that stupid in like while talking? So he accepted what he has done wrong, and I think it's high time for the other people as well to actually accept that, you know, that they are not being inclusive, they are not being sensitive towards the people who are having any kind of disability. And it's really pathetic.
I so agree, Nanth, that you shared with us the honesty of the fact that it doesn't matter what kind of issues we might have, whether it's stammering, and maybe issue is the wrong word, you know, what kind of person we are who we are, and all of us have hopes and dreams and aspirations, including being in a romantic relationship. And so if the person who you want to have a relationship with feels themselves superior purely because you are stammering, then the relationship is starting on the wrong footing, isn't it? It's not an equal footing, because the other person assumes that they are better than you because they can speak without a stammer. Whereas it could be that they have so many other things that you do not have. And yet, unfortunately, in the society that we live in, it doesn't matter which part of the world, we often make this judgment based on all these superficial differences. I speak easily, confidently, I don't have a stammer, you do, therefore I am better than you. And that is such a tragedy. Mm-hmm. Whereas, of course, once we start exploring and understanding and talking to each other, we can appreciate so much more. And of course, the story you mentioned of your ex-colleague from the Royal Bank of Scotland, of course, if we have a similar experience, you know, we can then understand what the other person is feeling because we have been there. But even without having that similar experience, even if I don't know what it means not to be able to communicate properly or not to have a broken leg or whatever it might be, is it not possible for us to be able to try and accept other human beings first for who they are. And that's what you were saying about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and the idea that you want to point out to organizations what that really means. Is that what you meant?
Absolutely. And I feel that any kind of good work should start in home, because a lot of parents are calling me now, and they are saying that, you know, that my kid is stammering. Can you help him or her? And it's really like, I said on his face that, you know, I think I can help you first, then I will help your kid, because you need to change your perspective. You need to be little human as well, because at that point of time, you know what kind of person you are, because that family is undergoing through a lot of violence as well, and the kids are going through a lot, and now he's blaming a teenager. Like I talked to the kid, and he is so sensitive, he's just so polite, what kind of environment he's living in is just like, it reminds me of myself. So I said, you know, that it's if someone needs to change, it's you. And I'm sorry for being impolite, but you're actually spoiling your kid's life, and you need to be you need to learn few things before you start parenting or before you start lecturing your kid about why do you stammer, like why you're not scoring marks, and why are you not being social. Like it doesn't make sense to me, and it really makes me angry.
Yeah, you're framing a kid's life. I'm just repeating those words that you've just said, and the fact that I am a parent, and we as parents have such power over our children of the next generation. And if we don't do the right thing by them, and actually believe in them and help them believe in themselves, we are not doing the right thing as a parent. So the angle that you're taking is absolutely right. It could be so easy for you to say, yes, I'll help the kid, but how can the kid believe in himself if the parent doesn't believe in the child? It's just, it's a no-brainer, but not everybody realizes that. So true. And do you go back to, you know, where you grew up, Puneet, and work in there, in the slums that you once were in, and help the children there, or are you?
Absolutely. We conduct weekly workshops, and there are people, like there are young kids who are not having, like which are having not, like they are having several issues, and some are going through sexual exploitation as well, by some cousin or by some uncle. One boy is like, he's 16 or 17, and he is a gay, but he couldn't come out because he will be beaten up to the death even by his own father. He know that. And there's a girl who is facing sexual exploitation. I help her to actually file an FIR against her uncle. So situation is bad, but one thing that binds us all is that we need to communicate. We need to raise our voice. So this thing that, you know, that communication will come, like even in your professional life, personal life, in your relationships, expressing yourself, like there's nothing more liberating as self expression. And if you are holding yourself back, if you are like, if not sharing your issues with anyone, one day you will explode. And this is the message that I say to these kids, because I say clearly that I'm not a therapist, I'm not a qualified counselor, I'm nothing. I can just listen to you, and I can just share my experiences. I have nothing much to offer, but I can offer you a listening ear, and I can share the lessons from my own life. And if it can help you, I think it's so good, because there are girls, like I have seen girls, they cannot say no. Smita, they cannot say no. So I gave them an exercise, a role playing exercise, that for 5 minutes, I'm going to ask you questions, no matter what the question is. I'm going to ask you for a pen, I'm going to ask for a notebook, and you just have to say no. And you know what the girl said to me? That, sir, I want to apologize before I start this exercise. I said, first of all, don't call me sir, and then don't apologize because you are failing the purpose of this whole exercise. So it really takes time, but they learn so fast. It means that within 1 month, I can see the brightness in their eyes. They have become so sharp, and I say that you know, generally, I'm not generalizing, but children from slums are really, really, really bright. They are fast. It's just what an opportunity, and if they got that platform, they will fly.
So what you're doing, Puneet, very simply put, is you're going out there into the world and you are helping other people challenge their own unconscious biases. So many different unconscious biases, all under the headline of communication, but one could be, I don't know how not to say no. The other is, I have no self-belief and I don't believe I'm any good at anything. The other is something else. And you're helping them overcome that. It's just so powerful what you've said. But then what is your mantra? Do you have a daily mantra every day, Puneet? Do you say something to yourself when you wake up in the morning to say, I'm going to go out today and I'm going to continue to do the good work I do? How do you manage?
I think the feedback and the love that I'm getting from my friends, because I call them my friends, they are part of me. And, you know, looking at this girl now, he's so confident now. I don't want anything else. I can walk day in and day out just to see these little changes in their personalities, because it can make a whole lot of difference. Now she is like actually started to live her life, because it's so difficult, Smita, to be a girl in that kind of backward scenario. I must say, because I have seen, like, I was at disadvantage of at various levels. But if I was a girl, I cannot imagine like what kind of situation I have to face. So I am not a girl. Like, there are a lot of challenges. I am trying to build up, bring some of my friends. I need to expand my team to actually bring some girls as well, because they will be able to connect well. But I'm reading a lot. I'm asking people about resources, about different books and different facilitation workshops. I can get these ideas from, and then I'm trying to put in, because I just cannot wait for some girls to come and help them, because I think in 1 or 2 weeks it can make or break. Because one girl was really like, she was undergoing a lot because of how toxic their parents were. Like, they were saying that what kind of clothes are you wearing, which is just because you got a job, you have become arrogant now, you are earning, so that's why you are like, you are just being so like arrogant or whatever. Like all these kind of, literally they are putting up or dumping their shitty arguments into her brain. So it feels so bad, and she was almost on the words of breaking down, and she called me, and then I have to listen. Like, simply I have to listen for 1 hour, and just listening, like, listening is so important. It's just like we are forgetting to listen to people without judging them, and it's really important to, you know, because I have that privilege, because certain people, they are like 100 kids who can call me anytime, and I will listen to them, and they believe me that I'm not going to share their stories with someone else, and they can trust me, and whatever I'm saying, they will listen, because I listen to them because I'm one of them. And in our locality, there were like a lot of organizations were there, a lot of foreign organizations were there with a lot of resources, with a lot of money. But what their approach, I didn't like their approach. They have that top-down angle of looking at us. And I always used to say that, you know, that solution will come within us. You cannot just come from some European country and just try to dictate us. You need to listen to us as well, because something like India is a diverse country. You cannot use the same methodology that you're using in Europe or even some other country of Asia, because it's so different. And I try to communicate with them. They have their own unconscious bias that, you know, this boy is from the same locality. He's just being arrogant now. So all of these things, but I tried whatever I can. I just try to be clear in my communication that this is what we need, and if you are not going to provide us, then someone from our community will come up and show you the direction. I'm still open to partner with them, because in social work, collaboration and partnership is so important, and I see quite a loophole in this this sector, while especially near Delhi and NCR.
This is so important, Puneet, because what you're saying is that we need to listen, and we need to listen without judgment, and we need to be non-hierarchical. If we can make sure that we are not in a hierarchical level of communication and we listen without judgment, then we can manage our own unconscious biases. Puneet, it's been a privilege to hear your stories. Thank you so much, Puneet Singh Singhal, for sharing your stories of unconscious bias with me today.
Thank you so much, Smita, for giving me this opportunity. Thank you so much.
This is the final episode of season 6. I cannot believe I'm actually saying that. You've got 66 episodes for you to catch up on. It has been an incredible 2 years hearing stories from so many people around the world. We're now going to take a short break, which gives you the opportunity to catch up on some of the interviews. As always, thank you so very much for listening. If any episode resonates with you, please do share. It is the sharing of these interviews that creates the audience. Lastly, thank you to Jack Godfrey for the closing music.